Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are, whether it's online or live at any one of the Super Talk stations from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sander, along with Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens. It's a rainy day outside, but it's always a good day when we can talk Southern Miss athletics. On the program today, Andrew Abbedy, who reports on the Eagles on a daily basis for local media. He'll be joining us to give us his insight on some different subjects that are of interest in the Southern Miss Nation. We're going to recap last night's basketball win and then maybe talk a little bit about the coaching search. We apparently are getting closer and closer to when interviews will actually be staged. Who might be interviewed? Who might not? We'll have all that for you broken down.
Well, I can give you a few names of who might not be interviewed. You, for one.
Well, but I've never been on the list, to be fair. Okay. The first segment today brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. With Thanksgiving just 2 weeks from tomorrow, why not let Dickie's even smoke your bird, your turkey, whatever, your ham?
It's a heck of a sentence.
Well,
smoke your bird.
Just read the script. Don't improv.
Okay. All right. Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Here and loved everywhere, Dickie's Barbecue. Big supporter of Southern Miss Athletics and this program.
And they'll smoke your bird.
Yes, they will. They'll smoke your bird, your ham, whatever else you might be offering for your Thanksgiving feast. Dickie's can take care of that for you. All right, Dima Mixon, although not a big surprise that Southern Miss came up a big winner over NAIA opponent Loyola last night, but competition aside, there were lots of really good things that happened in that game last night. One of the statistics that jumps out to me, and of course, the score, 103-67?
104-65, yeah.
Yeah, 104-65, the final score. Three-point shooting was one of the things that jumped out to me. 13-29, which the fact that they put up 29 three-point shots is exciting, but the fact that they made 13 of them. And then from the floor as a whole, they shot 56%, and we've talked already about 44-45% is kind of that range that you'd think would be good enough to win a basketball game. But 56% last night, and in the rebound totals, they out rebounded the Wolfpack 52-30. Pretty good recipe for success, just those three stats.
Yeah, you mentioned how it's raining outside. Well, inside Reed Ring Coliseum, it was raining three-pointers, and they just kept hitting them, and it was unbelievable. You mentioned the percent at the end of the game, but at the middle of the game, Southern Miss shot 67% from the floor in the first half. 67%. That's pretty good. And 60% from three in that first half, 9-15 from the three-point line in the first half. When we talked to Jay Ladner multiple times on the show, he's talked about how this is going to be his best offensive team that he's had in his tenure here at Southern Miss. And so far, we've seen that to be fruition. The two first exhibition games, they got over 100 points. You know, bad start against UAB, but their offense got them back in that game, the one game they did lose. Then what we saw what they did in the first game. And then last night where they just obliterated this team. You know, you think about a year ago, this was again, you know, Southern Miss won, I think, by 20, 25 points, but it wasn't pure dominance. I think it was a close game at halftime, but this was pure dominance, and it's just a recipe and just a taste, almost like an appetizer of what this team can be when they're clicking on offense. Now, they have to continue to click on offense for the next 10 to 15 months or however long the season is. But they have to continue to click on offense. But last night, that's the recipe for success, and that's what Jay Leidner wants to see. Good defense. You want to keep those other teams to 65 points. You know, you're not going to be able to keep good college basketball teams to 65, but if you can keep them between 75, 80, 85, 90, and then your team is consistently scoring over 80, 85 points, you have a good recipe to win most of your basketball games.
But referencing a 15-month college basketball season, you're becoming sarcastic in your old age, Dima. I appreciate that. Yeah, when you look at this team as well, look, one of the things I think Jay Leidner is understanding is that whether your team wins or loses, there's a lot of tugging over America's entertainment dollar these days. And winning does go a certain distance. We're not disputing that. But when you can win or even lose, but be entertaining, you know, by putting up the three-point shots, by putting up big numbers, I think that that is something that people want to see. As point of reference, I remember when MK Turk retired, one of the criticisms, the few criticisms, I might add, that MK Turk ever took was that his teams didn't play any defense. They would win or lose 104 to, you know, 100 on a college floor. So the next coach that came in, James Green, took that to heart and really went overboard the other way. So instead of the games being 104 to 100, the games started becoming 42 to 38, yep. which nobody wanted to watch. Even though the Eagles would win a good share of those games, it just wasn't as much fun to watch. So entertaining, I think, is a word that comes to mind with this team so far.
Yeah, and when you look at some of these notes, you know, the Southern Miss, you know, has now finished with at least 5 blocks in each of the first 3 games after recording 7 last night. The Golden Eagles hit 10 three-pointers for the second consecutive game. The 13 made three-pointers last night are tied for the 4th most in the Leidner era. The Golden Eagles had 5 players finish in double figures for the second time this season. So when you see that, it's not only just last night, it's been the consistency through the first 3 games that they can continue to build upon that offense. And like I said, we've talked to Leidner over and over and over and over again about this team. Why is it different? Why is this team different from his past teams? He's always said the offense, and he wants the defense to be better, but he expects the offense to be great. And I think that's the difference. And we've seen that so far play out in the season. And the defense itself looked dominant last night as well. As I mentioned, 7 blocks. I mean, that's pretty incredible to get 7 blocks in a basketball game. Again, this is Loyola New Orleans. You probably want to see them do that against UAB, maybe not last week or something like that. But, you know, you want to have those good nights. You know, I play basketball. When you have those good nights, it gives you confidence that when you see that ball go through the net that many times, it's going to give you confidence for the upcoming game, which they hit the road and head to Montana next. And they're going to play, South Dakota, excuse me, not Montana.
South Dakota State will be the next game next week as they take the road. But something else that Eagle fans got to see last night that they probably won't get to see a lot of this year is every single player that was on that bench last night got playing time. And a couple of the youngsters really shined last night in their first opportunities.
They did. You know, we got to see action from all of them, and that was pretty good. That the bench actually had 51 points last night, so that is great to see, regardless of if you do have some of those subs who probably won't get in most of the season. But even if you have that bench scoring that many points, the players that will get in the game a good bit, 51 bench points is incredible. You know, as you mentioned, 52 total rebounds. To see those younger guys play, get some experience, is really good to see. And the Golden Eagles head to South Dakota State, as you just mentioned, and they head to Montana right after that when they play Montana State.
Now, one of the things that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you made reference to the long basketball season. And one of the reasons that I'm legitimately worried about the length of basketball, and basketball seems to get longer every year. I don't know. I mean, like I said, in the old days, when I was a kid, basketball games didn't even tip off until just after Thanksgiving. Well, now they're playing in October. The reason that this is significant is you've got a couple of guys on this Southern Miss team who have been notoriously injured, you know, the past couple of years. And I know when Andre Curbelo went out with the stomach bug at UAB, people were going, oh, gosh, you know, is this going to be something permanent? Then we learned, you know, that it was a stomach bug. But the longer the season goes on, no matter how good of a shape an athlete is in, the body wears down. And that's when injuries start to occur. So we've got our fingers crossed that this incarnation of the Eagle basketball team can stay healthy because you can see just how dynamic and how many different tentacles of success, offensively, defensively, rebounding, block shots, all those sorts of things that this team can do. But if one kink in the chain goes south, it can completely change the dynamic.
Yeah, we've seen that the last 2 years, and obviously we don't want to predict anything like that happening this season.
Yeah, we don't want it to happen,
yeah,
for sure.
And so, but, you know, that's kind of why I've always made the joke, why don't you just bench everybody until the middle of February, because that's when it really matters for seeding purposes, and then March, you know, they start getting that rhythm, because if you get injured in November and your season's over, you know, then it was, okay, there's still 5 months left, you know, or whatever. So it is strange. I don't understand why college basketball is this long, but it is what it is. And hopefully the conditioning of the program, the conditioning of what they do over there at the basketball program will continue to help these kids be ready for those games and not be injury prone. as I voice cracked there, not be injury prone. But you never know. But again, when I mentioned that the bench was scoring 51 points, hypothetically, if one of them did go out, one of the starters, that bench is looking just as good.
And we're talking about the length of the season. Football generally is September, October, November, 3 months. Baseball, February, March, April, and into May, three and a half months. Basketball, 6 months.
Regular season.
Yeah, too long. When we come back, Andrew Abbott's going to join us, tell us what things that he's picked up on going on at Southern Miss. He'll have an update for us when this edition of the Eagle Hour on a rainy Wednesday continues in just a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Campus Bookmart is a proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour, just in time for Christmas. Anything that you want to get for your Eagle favorite or your Eagle fan is there at Campus Bookmart. Just something as small as keychains and shot glasses, all the way up to fire pits and apparel. Everything that you can have a logo on, they've got it at Campus Bookmart. Open 24/7 online at Campus Bookmart. That's bookmart with a T, .net. And don't forget that you can hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast every day. We hope you'll join us live, but if not, you can download it on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube, or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Are you proud of me, Michael? I read the script exactly as it's written.
Thank you.
You know,
it's not that hard, is it?
No editorial.
And it worked. We got the point.
No editorial comments. Okay, well, let's get Andrew Abbott in here to give some credibility to this program with Pine Belt Sports. Lots of things to talk about, Andrew, and of course, everybody around the water cooler every day talking about, well, as we get closer to Thanksgiving, which was Jeremy McClain's timeline to have a new head football coach in place. Thanksgiving just 2 weeks from tomorrow, so you would think that if interviews have not already started, they will be starting soon. Kind of let us know what you're picking up or laying down, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no, the interview, first off, thanks for having me back as always. But yeah, the interview process has begun. I've heard they're actually interviewing somebody today. Who it is, I don't know. It's been, you know, they've kept things pretty close so far, but I think we're going to start seeing stuff, you know, probably leak or at least get an idea of things in the coming days, hopefully. So, you know, hopefully the picture will look a little clearer.
Well, we're talking with some of these coaches, not necessarily coaches that are in the market for this job, but just coaches in general. The world of agents and college football coaches' agents apparently is a very powerful force to deal with, because a lot of this interview processes and letting people know who's interested, who's out there, who wants to go where, is brought on by these agents. And the agents are the ones that kind of make the initial contact with these schools. And the agents certainly aren't talking, but if their clients get jobs, obviously it is best for them. So it's kind of a different world. But the fact that he wants a Thanksgiving deadline, ideally, Andrew, would that necessarily mean that whoever takes this job would be a coach that is not currently working on a staff as a head coach? Does that automatically eliminate guys that are still working this season?
Yeah, no, I think it's either way. Because I've said this before. I mean, usually in the last coaching cycle, you might have head coaches that were fired and then they take a year off and then they're trying to get back into it. I'm not saying Southern Miss is, I can't say for certain Southern Miss is talking to somebody that's in that spot or not. But you know, that's just an example. But I think it could go either way. I do know that, you know, there's emphasis to get this right, like we've talked about. But yeah, I think it could go either way. I know they're assessing all their options. I know from what I've gathered, they're looking at offensive coordinators. They've looked at former football coaches or head coaches, I should say. So it seems to all be on the table.
Well, one guy who apparently has a really good agent, whether he gets the job or not remains to be seen, but is Brandon Marion, the offensive coordinator at UNLV. The students have made their views clear, or at least ones that are willing to give their views, have said that Marion is their guy. And so he's got a good agent because his name is out there, but no head coaching experience. But that is one name that continues to resurface. How much traction do you think his name has on the surface?
No, I mean, I know there's mutual interests, and I do know he's got interest from other schools now at this point as well. So, you know, how does he work that into his favor for this job? I don't know, but, I think you guys have said it before that, you know, we're hearing names, but usually it's the names that you don't hear. They're the ones that will pop up at the last minute. But, you know, it seems like he has campaigned for this job. You know, Derek Nix is another guy that has popped up a lot. Those are, the only two names I can say for certain that I've heard through the past few weeks in the grapevine of things. I've heard, Illinois' offensive coordinator is a name that has popped up as well. So, with this search firm involved, you never know what names could pop up or who pops up for whatever reason. There could be guys that, the search firm has 25 coaches in place right now. You could have guys that worked under those guys that are trying to get jobs through that search firm. I mean, it's just, this is a lot of networking. It's a lot of who you know.
I don't think that's any different necessarily than any other job.
No.
I think it's very, if there was any business where it's emphasized the most, it's probably this one, though.
Yeah, and Andrew, you've talked about how we've heard so many names, and it's kind of just, to me, I'm kind of just throwing up my hands and, like, nobody really knows at this point. I mean, you really don't know until, I know that sounds very cliche, but I mean that's really the point. And when you see people posting like, oh, this is going to be the next head coach, nobody knows really.
No. If anybody says they know current head coaches right now, that's not the truth. Bottom line, they're still doing their process, doing their due diligence. It's probably going to take another week, but at this point I would think they've got candidates narrowed down. Probably between five or six, if they're starting that interview process, maybe they're trying to entice somebody along the way. You never know. But, I did hear Bill Clark is somebody that's out of it for anybody who wants to put some things away. But that's all I can really say for certain.
I'm just curious on your thoughts on how big of a hire this is for Jeremy McClain and his legacy and his standing here at Southern Miss.
Well, I mean, it's big. It's his job. I've always said I think every AD is allowed to miss on a football coach. But if you miss on two in a row, that's tough. And, you know, having said that, you know, I like Jeremy a lot, and I do think he's done a really good job, you know, putting them in a favorable spot after conference realignment, ensuring Christian Ostrander stays here. I know people don't like to give him credit for that, but they went to college together, and they were teammates. I assure you, Oz probably goes and leaves for the chances of Oz leaving for the SEC is much higher if Jeremy's not his boss. It seems like, you know, men's basketball has finally turned around. You know, we could say that with just the butts in the seats for the last few years. They finally pushed the renovations through for Reed Green. But again, it all boils down to the football coach, since that's where everybody's money comes from. So again, you know, he's got to make it. You know, I've said it before. He missed at Troy when he made his coaching hire, Chip Lindsey. He's obviously missed with Will Hall. So, you know, hopefully third time's the charm for him.
And what would be success? I mean, next season when this new coach comes in, is a bowl game, you know, is that something that's a realistic expectation, or do you think it's still going to be another 2 or 3 year build that everybody has an expectation around?
I think from what we've seen, especially in the transfer portal era, that, you know, with everybody's ability to turn a roster immediately now, you know, that should be, I mean, you know, at least 6 wins should be the bare minimum these days. You know, we've seen several schools just turning around and, you know, not even have championship success, but just winning records and being competitive. I mean, you know, it's not like when Will Hall kind of took over, you know, the portal was still in its infancy phase and yet still had to completely rebuild a roster. I mean, and develop players. I mean, those days are gone. So, you know, I do think seeing some type of what we all consider to be winning success is what needs to be seen next year.
Well, logically, based on what Andrew said a couple of comments ago, Dima and Andrew, here's what I'm thinking. That because it is imperative that Jeremy McClain get this right, I personally would be a little surprised if he didn't hire someone with coaching experience, head coaching experience.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a time you can roll the dice on something like that. Yeah. So in the Brandon Marion case, and I'm just using him as an example. You know, he might be the best guy for the job. I don't know. But the fact that he doesn't have any proven head coaching experience, maybe if you're in a different political climate than Jeremy McClain is in right now, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I just don't, I mean, logically, I wouldn't roll the dice on somebody that does not have head coaching experience. Am I out of line?
No, and I'd like to add. So I've been breaking down all the coaches that the search firm currently has in place, which like I said is 25. 16 of them had some sort of head coaching experience. Two of them were interims at their schools that they ended up being at. But that speaks volumes of having somebody who can A, handle it, and B, is some type of proven winner. And I do think you need that.
I definitely think now, again, considering what they're coming from, and because this has got to be...
It's got to be right.
Yeah, you
it's
have
to be right.
And it's going to be an easier sell to the money people and to the fans that this is a proven head coach commodity. We can't roll the dice.
It's not an experiment hire. This is a you have to get this right hire.
Correct. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to continue our discussion with Andrew Abbott. He's going to talk a little basketball and the state of the athletic department overall at Southern Miss. Kind of gloomy outside, and it's kind of gloomy being an Eagle fan these days, but we'll continue with more when this Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. They've just repaved the parking lot there. I don't know if you've been by there, but really nice parking lot now. And, of course, the home of the 1095 Blue Plate Lunch.
You always talk about parking lots. I noticed that. 4th Street, new parking lot.
Yeah, well,
campus,
I mean,
he likes a good parking lot.
When you're old and you know you don't want to be buying a new car every year, and you know your cars get banged up in these potholes and stuff, parking lots are
that makes sense.
Are important, and especially
he's all scripted again.
And when they're
off script.
When they're close to the restaurant too. Hey, real quick, and we gotta let Andrew Abbott go. But Andrew, just the state of the Southern Miss Athletic Department right now. I mean, the volleyball team unfortunately not gonna make the postseason tournament. Soccer has already been eliminated. They didn't get into the postseason tournament. I mean, it's rough being an Eagle fan now. In the times that you've covered sports, has it ever been like this?
Not so, I guess, definitively across the board, at least for the fall sports. It seems like always one was doing better than the other, and football would kind of be middle of the road. But, you know, it just seems like whenever football has a catastrophic year, everything seems to fall by the wayside. But I do think all these programs are dealing with, A, the transfer portal, and, B, they're going to have to figure out this revenue sharing and the roster size limit. I mean, it's going to be an adjustment for schools like Southern Miss, especially for the Olympic sports.
All right, buddy. We always appreciate your insight and your input. Andrew Abbott with Pine Belt Sports, and he's going to be working on some stories that are certainly going to be especially worth reading as we get closer to naming a head football coach. Thanks again, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks
All right.
for having
Thank
me.
You.
Andrew Abbott with us, and you can always follow him on social media as well. Don't forget, Mississippi-owned and operated Inda Bay Spring Water is from a natural spring in Stone County. Premium water with unmatched purity. Nothing stripped, nothing added. Freshness you can taste. Hydration you can feel. Their bottles won't collapse, but your thirst will. We welcome new sponsor, Inda Bay Spring Water. How was that?
I think we wasted 45 seconds of
the
show.
Rest of the story.
Yeah. Paul Harvey. Where's what? I wanted to get your opinion too, Andrew. It's rough being an Eagle fan now. People who are, because I'll wear my Southern Miss stuff. Yeah, I know, because it is free. but
where's that shirt from?
This is my high school shirt.
Your Huskies?
The Hoover High Huskies. Yeah,
we're Huskies too.
Des Moines, Iowa. Were you?
Harlem High School.
Okay.
Harlem Huskies.
Go Huskies.
We have that connection.
Class of 79. But I'll tell Southern Miss, when I see people at church or out and about and they've got Southern Miss stuff, I kind of give them a fist bump saying, keep on keeping on. Yeah, brother, things are going to get better. But it's rough right now. Tima, and a few younger guys especially, huh?
Yeah, it is. And, you just hate to see it. I mean, that's really the bottom line. And all the sports across the board this fall did not end up going in the way that we all expected them to. I don't think we expected Southern Miss in football to be 9-3, 10-2, but we expected them to be competitive. That was kind of the expectation coming into the season. Volleyball seemed like they could really turn it around this year. Soccer seemed like they could really turn it around this year. And, all three of those programs just had tough years. And, there's always next year as the cliche goes, but eventually you've got to kind of just look and be like, man, I mean, when are they going to start winning? When are these team programs going to start producing? And then on top of all that, if you're any more of a national fan, and you look at what the Saints are doing and what they've done, a lot of Southern Miss fans are Saints fans, and that has been, kind of a trash shoot besides beating the Falcons on Sunday. But, all – the fall sports in general here, as a Southern Miss and Saints fan, just coming from me, has been really tough. So
alcohol sales have increased, probably.
I don't know, maybe so.
Based on that. But I want to throw this question out, too, because this is a question that a lot of people talk about now. And I don't think there's a right answer here, but let's just talk about it. And I use the analogy of presidents of the United States and the economy. Whether presidents should get credit, whether they should get blame for the economy, that's always debated as to whether, the presidents really can't do anything about the economy, blah, blah, blah. Here's my question. Are athletic directors, or is it reasonable, whether they deserve credit or deserve blame, is too much put on the athletic director for the success or lack of success for any athletic department program they have?
I think the only time you can really blame an athletic director is if they, continue on with something they know that's not working. I think that, to me, you're not going to be able to, the first year of Will Hall wasn't on Jeremy McClain, right? The third year of Will Hall wasn't on Jeremy McClain. Now, if he would have kept Will Hall after this season and kept him back for the next season and they went 1-11 again, yeah, that's on Jeremy McClain because he's keeping something he knows that's not working. And so that, to me, is the only time you can really blame an athletic director for the problems within the programs. Now, if you look at volleyball and you look at soccer and you look at kind of those lower tier sports, not taking any credit away from them, but that is what it is. It is what it is. They do not bring as much money as football does. So since they don't bring as much money that football and basketball and baseball do, they're not getting funded the amount of money they probably really need to compete at a higher level. So that's the problem you have when you're in this kind of juncture for Southern Miss, that the revenue you're supposed to be creating with football is not happening. So then that draws back your athletic budget. You're gaining revenue with baseball, but you cannot depend on baseball to be your number one revenue sport as a Southern Miss athletic department. That's just, you can't depend on that. You can't depend on basketball being that way. And so when football isn't doing well, it's something that Andrew just said, when football isn't doing well, it seems like that all these lower sports continue to do wrong. Is that Jeremy McClain's fault? No, especially not now, since he's now forcing a change with the biggest program that Southern Miss has. Now, it would be his fault if he continued something, and this is just my opinion, but if it would be his fault if he continued something that he knew wasn't working. And I do feel like he has some of that blame for this season, because after the Jacksonville State game, we all knew Will Hall was getting fired. There was just no way he was coming back from that. And the fact is that he did continue that. He continued it week upon week and week upon week after that. Then you had Fire Will Halls chanting throughout your home stadium on homecoming. So, you know, that there's no excuse for that, and you had to make a change for that.
Which could have been interpreted as being reactive rather than proactive when you saw the fans in the stands with things like that.
Correct.
You know, you don't ever want to be accused of being reactive.
You had the fans with the paper bags over their heads. I mean, it's just it was almost like, okay, now we're going to fire him, even though the call was to fire him 4 weeks before that. And so that, to me, is the only thing that I think, the only mistake I can see Jeremy McClain making, because Andrew was right in the first segment, the second segment, that he is doing a lot of things. He's positioned Southern Miss well in the Sun Belt with the NIL. They finally got the renovations on Reed Green. That's been talked about for years. You know, he's doing a lot of good things. The last thing that he hasn't done yet is get this football thing right. And that's why it is very important that he gets this thing right. And I think Andrew's bar of a bowl game next year, I think that's a high bar, but I do think that might be the right bar that it is, because Southern Miss fans are not going to take another year of a 1-11 football team.
One of the things that I have argued that I worry about is the fan base in its entirety ever coming back to football. Because as we've talked about, younger generations of kids coming up, the soccer kids, you know, they're playing soccer, they're doing video games. Football seems to be at different levels, and I know it is at the high school. Numbers are going way down as far as attendance goes. And I have argued we may have lost that audience for good. But most everybody, Andrew, has argued the counterpoint. As being Southern Miss fans, I say absolutely not. If this team wins, they will be back in higher numbers than you would ever expect. Are you on that cart?
I am. I truly believe that because there wasn't really any reason for Southern Miss fans to come back to the game on Saturday against Marshall. And there was honestly, it wasn't a good crowd by any means,
right,
but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And so, and we've seen in the past, and I just point to that 2022 basketball season. Nobody came to any of those games in November and December. Southern Miss started winning. They hosted Louisiana in front of 8,000 fans. Southern Miss fans come if you start winning. You know, I don't think it's great. I think you should support your team whether or not they're winning or losing. You know, maybe not 1-8. I don't think there's a lot of justification. It takes a lot to go to a football game nowadays. It really does. It's kind of ridiculous. But I do think that if, like next season, when they host Mississippi State here at home, I think the Rock is going to be packed.
Yeah, but partially, you'll have to grant that partially that's because they're playing Mississippi State.
Yeah, but I still think they're going to be, you know, back in. I don't think that's an argument that that's bad necessarily.
I didn't ask you this. Andrew commented on it, but would you be surprised if Jeremy McClain's next head football coach was a man or without any head coaching experience?
Without any? I wouldn't be surprised. No, but
I really would be.
I do think that is a fair argument, though, that as I said in the last segment, this is not an experimental hire. This is a have-to-get-right hire, and he knows that. And so I do think that the people on the top of his list, if we were to ask him, what's on the top of your list? Somebody with head coaching experience.
When we come back, news and notes of other things going on in Southern Miss sports, particularly the schedules looking ahead. The Lady Eagles take to the road later on this week, and more on the men's next basketball trip. It's about to get pretty cold for the men's basketball team as they head north of the Mason-Dixon line. The Eagle Hour continues after these messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment brought to you by DBAT Training. It is the place on days like today, especially when it's raining outside. No reason why the kids can't still practice their softball and baseball at the immaculate indoor facility that is DBAT. It is pristine. They keep it clean with germ disinfectant everywhere to make sure that it's a safe place to work out, and can get you in shape too for the upcoming season, whether it's softball or baseball. DBAT right off of Interstate 59. And shout out to our friends at Mobay Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street, right across from the main campus. You can check them out on Facebook. And of course, coming up with Christmas and Thanksgiving, you would think that peppermint would be one of their dipping sauce flavors for beignets coming up for Christmas, but you never know. You can by looking them up on their Facebook page. Tomorrow on the program, the radio voice of the Texas State Bobcats, Clint Shields, will be on here to discuss the game this weekend, and we'll preview the junior college state championship also tomorrow. Dima Mixon, as we look at news and notes before we turn that direction, Texas State, a 28 point pick at home. They are favored by 28 points, and another homecoming game for Southern Miss.
Yeah, we actually joked about whether or not it was a homecoming game off air, and then we looked up and it actually was the homecoming game. So
they delayed their homecoming until November.
Yes, they had two home games in October, and those were against Louisiana, who they elected not to have their home game. And then the other one was against, Arkansas State, I believe. Yeah. And so both of those games, Arkansas State, they elected not to have their homecoming in either one of those games. They waited until November 15th or whatever it is on Saturday, 16th, for Southern Miss.
And
remarkable.
And to think that after this game, they've only got about 2 weeks left of classes before finals. That's how long they delayed their homecoming game.
That's crazy.
Just to be able to play Southern Miss. Alas and alack. Things will get better, kids. But basketball, the Lady Eagles are heading down to Hammond. That's next on the schedule. Volleyball will complete the regular season with games at Marshall tomorrow and Friday, and then their season will be over. Again, the volleyball team 0-5 in the West, 1-7 overall. They did not make the Sun Belt postseason tournament. So volleyball ends its campaign Thursday and Friday at Marshall.
Yes, and it's also in Southern Miss Baseball National Signing Day today, and there were several signees that we can report. Camden Rogers was officially signed as a Southern Miss right-handed pitcher. He's from Tyrone, Georgia, and Trinity Christian High School. Also from Proctor, Arkansas, was Kevin Landry. He's a right-handed pitcher from North Point Christian High School. We can also report that Gray Eubanks also officially is a Southern Miss Golden Eagle. He's an infielder. He's from Huntington, Tennessee, and Huntington High School. Also, William Tonsmeyer, he's an outfielder from Vestavia Hills, Alabama, Vestavia Hills High School. And also, Bruce Littleton is also officially a Southern Miss Golden Eagles. He was signed as well this morning, left-handed pitcher from Vestavia Hills High School. Also, we can report that Brandon Maranhanto is an infielder. He's from Amory, Mississippi. He is officially on the Golden Eagle roster. Also, Caleb Dias is in officially, he's a transfer from Pearl River Central Community High School. That is the signees officially reported now, with more to come throughout the day.
Yeah, Dias at Pearl River Community College, yes. and now headed to Southern Miss. But when you look at that list of baseball signees, you're seeing the true magnitude of the Southern Miss baseball program on a national map.
Yes.
Because only two of those guys, two, maybe three, are from the state of Mississippi, but the rest of them were, you know, Tennessee, Georgia, I mean, all over the place. Mm-hmm. So when you have a program that is of national note like Southern Miss is getting, you can get the cream of the crop, not just for Mississippi, but other states as well.
It's huge. It's just ginormous, and you see that play out, and it's really good for the baseball program. The baseball program is probably at an even better state than we can even really comprehend it at, to be at this point. It might be in the best state it's ever been in.
And I think that will prove even more so next spring. I think, and of course, Bob's not here today. He would be, you know, foaming at the mouth, and we're talking about baseball without him. But I think the baseball team next spring is going to be a national contender.
And
I think they're going to be that good.
And the question is in the back of everybody's mind, is can they break over that hump? Can they get to Omaha? And my thing is, yes, if they stop getting sent to number one Tennessee for the regionals.
Yeah, well, who knows that they might not be the number one seed next year.
Well, I mean,
it all starts and ends with pitching, and we all know that. That's why I've always told little leaguers, pitchers at the big leagues still get $50 million a year, and they only work once every 5 days. It's because not everybody can do what they do. They're not paid for their time. They're paid for what they can do and what they know.
I would say best case scenario for the 2025 baseball season is a top eight seed. That's best case scenario.
I'll buy that. I'd take that, though.
Yeah. Top eight seed.
Yeah.
Best case scenario.
But isn't it interesting that those are becoming more and more the expectations?
Yeah.
When we're asking,
is the expectation to host?
Yeah,
the question.
And in football, we're asking if four wins is too much to ask for. You know, it's just kind of it's
honestly unbelievable.
Interesting the different worlds that we live in. The official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour is Genesis. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. Visit their all new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Even in the rain, you can go in and check out the complete line of Genesis vehicles. As we mentioned, tomorrow, Clint Shields, the radio voice of the Texas State Bobcats. Yes, Virginia, there are still football games left to go. After this one at Texas State, then the Eagles will come home for their final home game of this season. I think it's fair to say that'll be against South Al. And then that'll do it for the regular season at home. The final game will be at Troy the Saturday after Thanksgiving. That'll do it from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. For Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. Until we talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we always say Southern Miss
to the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.